how we wire it, I'd imagine the inverter is basically the house power is coming in through the inverter, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you what happens.
Yeah,
I go like this. We low power, turn on the generator. Okay. Comes on, I turn that on, you know, or whatever, I'm using the power, all of a sudden all the power and the power above the refrigerator to that power supply that supplies all the everything goes out. So I have to bring in an extension cord and plug into that plug. The extension cord can come from inside the bus on another AC outlet.
I'm trying to understand this. So you're sitting there, no generator running. You're sitting there fat, dumb, and happy. The inverter's carrying the load. You're going like, damn, it's getting a little hot in here. I turn the generator on. The generator comes on, everything's fat, dumb, and happy. Probably takes a minute or two for the generator to be okay. Then you turn this on. But you turn it on right away.
And it turns off. No breaker.
Can you answer my question? When you turn the generator on, do you put this on right away, or do you give it a minute or two?
It's been both, but the... because it does take time for the inverter to do whatever it's going
to
do.
See the generator. And then go, yes, I like the generator. I'll take its power. Boom, it locks on.
So this, if I were to turn the generator on now,
okay.
This would go on, and then it...
I don't want it to come on. Generator comes on.
Generator comes on.
Running along just fat, dumb, and happy. Once it's all dialed in, then you turn this on. It still just drips.
That's the problem. It goes off. It doesn't trip.
This just turns off all this shit turns off.
Without tripping it. Then when I turn it all...
But other stuff is running.
Yes. So then when I turn it on, you know, I do the breaker, like cool off. Sometimes it goes on, sometimes it doesn't. I turn off the generator after I get enough power to the batteries. Then it recognizes the inverter. Then that goes on. Yeah, it's very fucking interesting. So it's, you know, it's weird as shit. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Because some stuff is on, some stuff is not. So all I'm thinking, I'm going, well, that 15 amp is either hot and it's not really making a connection, it's a bad breaker, it's something.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's something to do with the generator. Because if the inverter, I mean, right now, the generator's not running. You could turn that on and it would run. But it would just be sucking the shit out of the battery.
Shore power over we got plugged in.
And then the shore power. Oh, right.
Well, this is a new thing.
Okay.
You know, it didn't always do this.
No, I'm just trying to think. It sounds like one leg of the generator isn't working or something. Because, I mean, it sounds like everything's working right except for when the generator comes on, half the bus doesn't have power. So I'm trying to think of like. But it used to do that.
Because I've been in the cold.
I'm gonna ask the supervision. Did Derek like make any drawings of what he did?
I wrote it down on it.
Well, there is the computerized schematic of maybe what Derek did. I don't know. In that folder that we have, I wouldn't say the schematic, but I mean,
whatever you got.
Okay, am I joining? Am I doing it? Here. Well, I'm sitting here waiting. I'm sitting here looking. Do it. Rock and roll. You know, is there waiting or not?
Stop. We're managing a lot of different things.
Okay. Manage getting me on their fucking live show or them doing it first.
Not a live show.
Well, whatever.
That'll help a little bit.
And they're calling. No, you just do this and then do that.
You know, you'd bitch no matter what I did.
I'm fucking radio, man.
This is fun. I had to email to a different email so that we could look at it. Okay, I'm going to do it here in the next place.
Something to do with that thing.
Okay, you guys got me? You guys got me? So we're waiting on them. There's an outlet behind the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. You'll see it's up top to the left and pain in the ass to get to. And that black box to the right on top of the refrigerator is the battery backup, 5 minute, 10 minute, whatever, that power supply goes into that powers all this stuff.
Okay, well, I think it powers more than that. At least what he has. This Freedom sequencer looks like comes from the AC main panel through it, and it'll do washer, dryer, water heater, and connect additional AC loads. And the thermostat and the air conditioner model, that thing.
Is that something he generated, or is that from?
I think it's something he did, because he's got some stuff. He's dragged little pictures around. But he's got an AC main panel and an AC sub panel. You got another panel somewhere with breakers in? Other than just that one?
Not that I know of. Underneath the bus, there's a black box that goes up, you know, like, here's the inverter, here's the charge controller, there's a black box up there that does a bunch of switching stuff, too, that opens up or something. Okay, so what are we waiting on with them?
Waiting on them to admit. I let them know that we're in the waiting room, so let's go.
Send a dispatch. Third hour for Mike.
Hey,
doing,
Ernest, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Test the links on the show page. It's not doing it. You got me?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. We're going to get started here in a moment. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good. Hold on a second. We got something going on here. Okay, Donna, did you hear me? Okay, now we're doing live stream or something? What was that about?
No, just live audio.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. On my end here, we're loading up the radio show from the day, and it's got a thing.
Can you hear me, Ernie?
Yeah, I got you.
Gotcha. This is Glenn Miller. I just popped up your Radio Phoenix thing on my email. You guys were, Donna sent me something about 2:40 Arizona time, mountain time. I guess you guys are about an hour ahead at that point. Where are you guys at? Where are you at right now?
Oh, we're in the West Valley now.
Oh, you're in the Valley. Okay. It came through at 3:40, 2:40 my time, 3:40. So it seemed like it was central time when Donna sent me that email. But anyhow.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Are you?
You got my levels? Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
I just did that brief intro. Was that good, Chris, or do you want me to do it over again? We're good? Okay. Yeah. Hey, Ernie, just did a brief intro before we got you live here. Anyhow, I just kind of set up, gave a little background, real briefly about, what you've done with us in the past. The two interviews, two forums that you participated in, and also we had you on our show a while back. So anyhow, what generated this, Chris saw your interview on the Corbett Report with regards to cryptocurrencies. At least that's the one I saw. And maybe we could, get into that issue a little bit.
Well,
and
I wanted to get into a lot of things, actually.
Sure.
I listen to James Corbett all the time. So I was, I hadn't listened to him when you've been on.
We've had him on every Wednesday for years. In fact, we're doing tonight after this.
Yeah, I for some reason I didn't catch it when you've been on, so it's been kind of sporadic,
Well, generally I put it on my site because we're on the Love Bus, so we don't always have enough bandwidth for video. So he likes doing video when we got the video. But if it's a big deal or something, he'll take what we got, or he has Brock West do it and so on. But yeah, he's excited about Black Market Friday that we did, and then there was the interplanetary file system that we're working on that we did for him, and we overlap at a lot. We speak at a lot of the same functions and stuff.
Right. I love how he does his information. It's so detailed, and way beyond the scope of what I think any normal person would actually give. But when the episode that I heard you on was the one about the cryptocurrency.
Yeah, me too.
And I thought that was very interesting. We've never really done a show on cryptocurrency here, but I kind of wanted to get into some of that, and then also I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of other things, in particular some of the things that are going on now currently globally, not only with this global reset, but also what's going on with the presidency, and also the
there's plenty to talk about. I could whip through all that stuff. How you want to do it?
Let's just start with the cryptocurrency issue first. What are your thoughts? Because I know a lot of people are really into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, but what are your thoughts on
I'll give you the cryptocurrency thing. This is what happened back in when it first started in 2009-2010. It really started getting going in libertarian circles, because what had happened is they approached a Liberty Community for us to promote it. And we're looking into it, and we're going, ooh, people money. We like that. Because right at that time, after the 08 crash and 2009, Obama comes in and they're spending all kinds of money doing what they're doing now. And the economy's taking a dump, all the consternation going on with the Federal Reserve and them just printing money. So from libertarian standpoint, we know what that means. It means inflated prices, right? Monetary inflation, things are going to get bad. Well, they when they came up with the Satoshi Nakamoto white paper, which was, it was only 9 pages or something, but it wasn't really that long, and just explained how they could do peer-to-peer value transaction using this blockchain technology. So blockchain technology is the one thing that we understood. It meant that you could do a lot of verifiable information transfers, but one of the use cases immediately was money, was value. So we go, all right, cool, we're in. But at the time, we had really started pushing silver and precious metals, of course, but silver we had here in the Phoenix area. We're doing get all aboard the love train. So we had the Coors Bullet, you know, kind of thing with silver dime cards, because 1964 and earlier silver dimes and quarters and so on were in half dollars are 90% silver. And so we would put those in laminated cards, and we had a bunch of information on them. You know, we called them silver dime cards. Well, right when we started promoting that, and that was getting popular, it was right when Bitcoin came. So we had kind of both that we've paralleled over the years, and we got, ooh, we got a big value in our crypto, went way up. That means we get to buy more silver, and silver's, oh, it's way down. They're keeping it suppressed and manipulating us down. Good, we get to buy more. So even a lot of the crypto libertarians, they see precious metals and crypto as just two parts of the same thing. It's people money. So when we saw the what was going on with crypto, because we understood the value of it being permissionless and censorship free, there was nothing they could seize. You know, it's not like a bank account they could stop, or they could garnish or put a lien on or something like that. So, you know, a bunch of poor couch surfing, you know, computer geeks got filthy, stinking rich, you know. So a lot of the people in the liberty community and the anarchist, voluntarist, leave me aloneist libertarians, you know, got millions of dollars in crypto. So it was a whole new world. And when you have these crypto events, and we did a Bitcoin summit on Pi Day, you know, 3/14/15. So I remember it was in 15 or 13 or whatever. I can't remember the number. 3.1415. Yeah. So it was 3/14 in 2015. We had here in Phoenix at the Sheridan Crescent, and all these guys come. Well, what happens is you'll see in the corner, there'll be, I don't know, 3 to 8 kids that are in their average age of 19, 22, and they're on their $4,000 laptops, you know, banging away, coding and so on. Then a venture capitalist, you know, with his tie off because he's cool and his sport jacket, walks over there and says, ooh, you look like a coder. You know, I need you to, you know, build a blockchain, another link in our chain to the crown kind of thing, and enslave some people and make me rich. So they'll offer them BMWs and hookers and green fees or whatever they want. And you have these young coders will go and they'll develop on the blockchain for these big corporations doing whatever the heck, because they don't understand the philosophy or the reason why blockchain technology is so important. So that's what we would do. We have piratswithoutborders.com. If you go to piratswithoutborders.com, you'll see the letters of Captain Mark and his first mate Reprisal, letters of Mark and Reprisal. And then we have like a video there of our pirate ship and, you know, the book on Amazon, all that kind of stuff. Well, we get those books, we have them printed, and we give them to these kids that are doing all this crypto coding. And we go, look, as you're developing this, you know, keep freedom in mind. The whole point of this and what gives it value is its decentralized and uncensorability nature of crypto. So make sure we don't get enslaved and it's GoldmanSucks.gov coin for Uncle Sam. I mean, you know, that what good is that, you know? Well, that's what's coming. You know, from the beginning, we understood that this technology is going to overwhelm the central banking system, and they know it too. And they go like, man, this is a, we got Silk Road people, we got to put them in jail for triple life sentences and stuff. Because what they do not want, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was like, don't you think that because it's basically digital money, that like that, even though it's put out there as a decentralization idea, you know, there's no centralized bank for it. Don't you think that it could be used for, you know, basically what they want? You know, what the globalists want.
Yeah, weaponized money. Absolutely. That's what I mean when I say GoldmanSucks.gov coin. You know, this could be easily, you know, digital money is what's coming. You know, it won't be, you know, freedom-oriented, none-your-business crypto. It won't be Monero or some of the other things that people are using to be able to be private. But, you know, but then when quantum computing comes in, you know, a quantum computer looks at all these atoms in the universe that you'll never, and I know the answer. I mean, you know, there's always, you know, weaponized money. And if they, them, those, it won't leave me alone. Central bankers, military industrial complex of pharma, we rule you central plan guys. I mean, you know, which is always a threat to certainly libertarians. They're going, if they can, they are. So, yeah, no, I'm with you, brother. You know, you digitizing stuff, you don't know exactly what you're doing, you can get in trouble. And so for me, I, you know, I have a little bit of crypto, but it's to buy silver.
For those of you who don't know what quantum computing is, it's basically D-wave computing and looking into how to control things at the quantum level. You can go to Jordy Rose. Look at people like Jordy Rose and Elon Musk, who have companies that are specifically dedicated to quantum computing. Go ahead.
Quantum computing. The simple answer.
Go ahead, Ernie. Finish
your book. The simple answer to quantum computing is it knows the answer to everything instantaneously. Where encryption is like you. How many atoms are in the to find the answer to get your crypto wallet is like. It's not like find the right blade of grass on the earth. It's like find the right cork out of the atom in all the blades of grass on earth. I mean, it's such an enormous number, but with quantum computing, quanta just kind of knows everything at one time because it's, you know, omnipositional. It's almost like a God particle thing. Well, this is, I mean, we can get in long story about how and probabilities of whatever. But the bottom line is that encryption and so on, it's kind of going to go away. And that's my fear. Now, crypto works great for a lot of things now. And but I, there's, you know, I if I have the atoms of silver and gold in my freaking hand, well, it's in my freaking hand. You got to come get it, you know where I put it or something. So, but with internet, to be able to trade and be secure and safe and instantaneous and convenient, crypto works really well for now, which is what was the threat to the banking system. The banking, they'd love to have digital money and get away with cash so that you can't be private. But to do that, they got to get you to, you know, turn in all your dollars for your purple digital, you know, Goldman Sachs money, you know, and that's what's coming. So they definitely...
Which is another reason why you see like a lot of these, like your coin money, you know, take your coin money, for instance, like they're leaching all the precious metals out of your coin money. If you look at your coin money, it doesn't even weigh the same anymore. Even when you put a real, say you took a quarter or a nickel and you put them up to the, so say you put ones up from like the 50s and the 60s up to the ones of today, like you can tell.
Yeah, it's got copper and zinc and all kinds of crap.
It's got copper and zinc in it, and the silver's all gone out of it. Go ahead, Glenn. You got a question?
Well,
Ernie, I just want to mention this because it relates exactly to what you're kind of talking about. I was driving down from Prescott down here to under the valley just, you know, late this morning to get down to the studio, and I was listening to K-Jazz. And as you may know, they carry BBC news clip in there. Of course, BBC is international. And there was a show on there, just so have it, about Bitcoin. Briefly, I caught part of it, part of the interview about Bitcoin. Macklin, Larry or something, I can't remember the name of the person, the journalist they were interviewing, but they're interviewing this person talking about Bitcoin. And talking about, wasn't saying that Bitcoin is necessarily tied up with money laundering, but he said basically Bitcoin can be used in money laundering just like U.S. dollars can be used. And so there's issues with regards to banking regulation affecting Bitcoin and affecting banks, regular banks that deal in dollars. And talking about, you know, people exploiting Bitcoin for criminal purposes. Not that most people involved with Bitcoin are at all criminals, but some people are. And I just thought I'd let you know about that. So you could probably, of course, you can go on NPR.org probably and pick up this show that was on the late this morning on the BBC period.
This has been there.
But anyhow, I just wanted to mention that to you.
No, this has been their thing since the beginning. You know, this is, all right, bottom line is this. Most money laundering, drug dealing, warmongering and gun running and, you know, sex, white slavery, black slavery, slavery trade of whatever the hell is done in cash, okay, in U.S. dollars. But, you know, Bitcoin and cryptos can help facilitate that and make it, you know, easier or lighter, or they don't have to carry around suitcases or whatever. Yeah, of course. So when you say illegal and money laundering, those two things to a libertarian don't mean anything. You know, yeah, it's money laundering because they say they didn't get a cut. That's what that money laundering is. Or they didn't see it, or they couldn't tax it, or they didn't like you doing it, or you're competing with some corporation, or, you know, they're doing it. Hell, the biggest drug dealers was the CIA, you know. So I'm going, you know, that saying illegal and money laundering doesn't mean anything to me. What I'm looking for is freedom. Now, you can do freedom with cash, you can do crypto, whatever. My point is, are they violating another individual's life, liberty, or property? Are they violating their rights? Well, then that was the only purpose of government, was to defend my individual rights. If they're not doing that, then what the hell are they good for? You know, locking me down, closing my business, making me wear a mask, forcing notions and potions in my flesh from the crown. I mean, I'm going, we got to get our definitions down of what is and is not a good thing. So when somebody comes to me and says, oh, the banks, they're freaking out and the government's, you're not doing it right, not getting a permission slip and money laundering, I'm going, you're confusing me with someone that gives a crap what they think. What I'm looking for is freedom. Crypto provides that online for me to be able to do instantaneous transactions for a fraction of a cent and oftentimes outside the observation of anybody. I'm like, sounds like freedom to me.
As long as you keep big government out of it and the big banks. Yeah, it does. But like you said, my fear is that this is like their grooming process to get everybody.
Absolutely. You're pegging it. That's exactly what they want. They want to have to where you are using their money. They can turn it off. It's weaponized money. If you go to piratewithoutborders.com, it's the second letter of Captain Mark is all on this very issue. You know, it's a short letter. It's probably, I don't know, 600-800 words. And it just says, look, let me tell you what they're doing. They, what they always want to do, they want to plunder, and they're going to use weaponized money. The way they do it now is they put a lien on your bank account, or they garnish it, or they just take it. Well, what happens if you don't use a bank? You know, well, you know, they don't like that. You know, you're violating us being able to take it from you. So I'm, yeah, you know, there's plenty. We can go on and on about crypto. I got a lot of opinion, but basically it's people money. It takes it out of the control of central bankers and governments. And if you're not in their control, then you're out of control and they can't have that.
Speaking of that, we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, I want to pick up and get your thoughts on what's going on with not only this whole crown thing, but also with the elections. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back with more Power to the People and Ernest Hancock. Corona. Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a really quick break, Ernest, and then we'll come right back, okay?
Sure.
All right. technical difficulties. Nah, I'm used to it. It's just like sometimes they do okay, and then as far as viruses and stuff, they're good, but they don't catch viruses often. But like, I don't know if they just got too much stuff on this one or what.
Trying to get used to iOS with this tablet. Let's see if Kodzik can come here. This is so annoying.
I'm good. I'm sitting here at my computer doing work, so whatever.
Okay, so sorry about this.
What's the issue?
I was trying to save the first portion of what we did. Because we've been having a lot of issues with like the computer, so I didn't want to like get all the way into the rest of it and then not be able to save it. So I'm breaking it up into bits, and then it's just, you know how it says, like it's thinking or whatever, it's just sitting there spinning.
Yeah, there's too many windows open.
Yeah, I got well, you gotta see it for, so No, no. I'm just saving a portion of it because we're taking a break.
So, oh, he's still on.
Yeah, he's still on.
Go to iTunes, right click on it, and try to force it to close. That could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you're gonna have to force it to close and then open it back up. So right click on audition and force it to close. Down at the bottom.
When I lose all my stuff or?
No, it should automatically back it up. If not, you can also record it to Zoom, but whatever. Okay, so reopen it. Might be a good idea if you need to use them to record on the other computer.
Alright. Well, the thing is, I was trying to do that, but this call is still doing this. It's coming up blank.
Right, it's already open. Oh. It might be because you're trying to open it up. There's something that you're running on this computer that's freaking it out. I'm going to have to quit that. Let's see if that's good. Sometimes Google Chrome will fuck stuff up. Okay. Sorry.
How do you record in Zoom?
It recorded. You could also set it up to automatically record, but you didn't hit that button when you were setting it up.
I'm still checking. So just record in Zoom now?
Yeah, just, you're going to have to let that do whatever it's doing. It might just be that Zoom is taking up too much bandwidth for it.
So if I record in Zoom...
It's recording now.
Okay, so if I record here, save it.
It'll automatically save and get next.
You got to know where it goes into a Zoom file, and then you got to download the MP3 of it, or download audio, gives you options and stuff. It's not a grandma adjust button. Don't let them fake you out.
Hi, Ernie.
Is that Kaja? Hey, Kaja.
Hey.
All right. And then I'll be so complicated.
Yeah, just leave that. If it doesn't open by the time I come back, we'll have to reboot the computer, but it should save it because it's supposed to be crashing it the whole time.
Well, I've been recording on my audio. I could, you know,
cut you, okay,
it down
okay.
to MP3 and send it to you.
Okay, cool. All right. Well,
go ahead and try and do it, and if you lose the first segment, I got it.
We'll do that after you guys are done.
Okay, all right.
And I'm going to...
Okay, we are back with more Power to the People with Glenn Miller and Chris Felton, and our guest today is Ernest Hancock. And when we left, we were discussing Bitcoin and the dangers of Bitcoin. Now I kind of want to get into, because Ernie brought up it sparked some questions because he brought up some things in regards to, you mentioned the crown, the corona. So I want to get your
no,
thoughts.
No, when I say the crown, I'm talking about the government. You know, the crown, this, the crown, and what we were doing in that. I don't want to have forced notions and potions from the crown. You know, from leadership, from government, from a shiny badge, whether it's a vaccine for anything or not.
When you said that, it sparked. Thoughts of
Corona
in Spanish
crown
means,
I get it
crown yeah crown in Spanish is corona, so that's why I think Chris was making the connection there, but I'm glad you clarified that.
So I want to get your thoughts on what's going on with that, and not only some thoughts, I want to see if you have some alternative facts for us as well.
Oh man, where does it start? In August of 16, we had Dr. Judy Mikovits on my radio show as a request from an audience member, and said, you really should talk to her. Within 15 minutes of talking to her, I go, this is it. And this was like a Tuesday or Wednesday. By the following Saturday, within 10 days, we had our first vaccine education summit at the Crescent Hotel where we do our summits. And we just, you know, what's your first Saturday available? Two Saturdays from now, book it. Boom. And we had a lot of the scientists on and so on. We did it again a year ago, September, in September of 19. And we had, you know, Dale Bigtree and Dr. Mikovits and, you know, some of the other big names. I can rattle them all off, but there were a bunch of people, like five legislators came to that one from Arizona. And my biggest thing to them is I go, look, I know this is a parade you guys will run and jump in front of and, you know, help me, vote for me, I'll be for you, and then you sell them out. And I go, you know, look at me, you know me. I go, traitors first. Don't BS these people into you're going to go help, and then you go and stab them in the back with big pharma, you know, purse strings helping them. Well, I know exactly how you guys do this stuff. Well, we knew this was coming. And, you know, I of course, I didn't know they were going to you know, go full lockdown and all the stupid stuff that they do. But I knew they were trying to scare us into mandated vaccinations. That was on the agenda. Now, in August of 16 is when we started every week, and now every other week for, God, 5 years, we have interviewed Dr. Judy Mikovits on my radio show live. And this has been because, you know, we all knew that this is what was coming. And we're very, very concerned about how they're using this to not only control your health, what they can and can't put into your body, what they can and make you wear, what they can have anybody that has a business license, tax license, liquor license, you know, a health permit. So they are exercising every muscle they can to say that they, them, those that won't leave you alone, the central command of the government or whatever, controls you. It's not just you. It's your family, your employers, the places you go and spend your money. So I'm, and but who benefits? You know, it's online, it's Walmart and Amazon. And when you even go to Walmart there for a long time, certainly in Canada even right now, nope, wrapping paper, anything Christmas, non-essential, you can't, and non-essential. Well, I'm thinking immediately when that happened, I was interviewing someone, and they said right off the bat, this was like, March or something, and they go, well, what if I think a welding rod is essential because I need to fix my boiler and it's freaking cold? You know, who makes that decision? So this is not about freedom. This is not about individuals preparing themselves and them making sure that they're safe for whatever risk factors they have. This is exactly what central planning does. This is central command. Someone up top is telling you what you got to do according to whatever, you know, trips their switch. And oftentimes, they're liars. They go and do the very thing they're telling you not to do. I got story after story after story on freedomsphoenix.com. We put 50 to 70 new headlines up a day. And I have 15 hours a week, 3 hours a day live radio that I fill in. Imagine how many stories I got on this. I don't think I know. I know. And this is all about control. It has nothing to do with your health and safety. So the blowback is people go, you know what? This fall, I know it's coming. They're going to mandatory youth indoctrinate school if you have to be afraid of, and, you know, some right, you know, some animals are more equal than others, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. They go, we're done. And they start pulling their kids out of school and home educate. They start doing their
own. You know what? You know, in some areas, they, as far as like the online schools, they are having the teachers get on the students. They're online now, but they don't want the students online dressed a certain way. So it's like, if I'm in my home, I should be able to dress how I want to dress.
Well, they can dress wearing their Black Lives Matter shirts, and then they, what do they complain about? Biggest complaints is they got Uncle, you know, Fred and Dad and Mom sitting there watching their kids being schooled, and they're going, whoa, 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 this is our, you know, a captive audience.
Yeah, they don't want it. In some cases, they don't want the parents.
Of course they don't, because they've had access to our kids and their minds for years, and all of a sudden the parents are seeing what's going on. They're like, oh, hell no. And now when they, Newsom, like, you know, in California, when you got the kids going back to school, what do they want? How many of your families had more than 10 people at Thanksgiving? You need to narc on the parents. We got a DARE program to turn in dad for violating Thanksgiving rules. This is ridiculous, man. And I mean, you got to see how, you know, some people would look at this and go, this is effed up like polio.
Trying to clarify from both maybe Chris and you, Ernie, you're saying that because by the way, FYI, in Prescott, Yavapai County, where I'm at, or at least in Prescott schools, just like today or yesterday, they decided to shut down in students in class for now, based on the outbreaks of COVID up in Yavapai County. And so they're going back to, they had a hybrid program kind of going on. You're familiar with what I'm talking about. And then they had, they went back to online only, at least for now, given the outbreak of COVID up
there. Outbreak? What does an outbreak mean?
a higher incidences of COVID being cases of COVID being reported in Yavapai County.
Which means
what? They mean by an
outbreak. They have, you know, pieces of it. The PCR test is crap. The guy that invented the test goes, it doesn't tell you anything. This is just political. There's nobody sick. You know, I mean, you, people that die and say, I look, they cured pneumonia, though. There's no more people dying from pneumonia anymore. Yay, they cured pneumonia.
People are dying from pneumonia. That's not true, what you're saying.
The test that they're doing is questionable because they had, so for instance, the president of, I believe it was Tanzania. And I think I talked about it when we did our show for...
He sends in a papaya and a porcupine and a freaking root or something, and it comes back positive.
Like portable, and he sent all three of those samples in, and all three of those samples came back positive. And it was also, there's been many other individuals that have done the same thing, that had samples they sent in fake samples, and the samples came back positive. So I'm not saying that people aren't getting sick, because people are getting sick. I know people that have gotten sick, but whether or not they're getting sick from COVID or whatever it is that they're calling it is questionable.
They may be, you know, but that's not, you look at the debt. See, what they promised us was people piled up like cordwood, you know, in front of a triage at emergency rooms and hospitals. That didn't happen, no matter what they say. So when they did this, and you got Andrew Cuomo going, oh, man, we're all going to die. And, you know, what does Trump do? He goes, okay, you know, here's a hospital ship. What do? They take the sick people and they put them into nursing homes to kill them. We did the math on it. It's billions of dollars they saved by how many people that died. I'm like, is this death panel stuff? Is this eugenics? Are they trying to kill people?
I'll give you another example, too. Like, my mother just recently passed away in March. So
sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. But like, so that was at the start of all of this. And my mother had pre-existing issues prior to this. Like, and plus she was in her 90s. So right before, I remember right before, like a week before all of this COVID stuff, they were trying to get us to, because she was continuously going, like, deteriorating. Like, she was to the point to where she couldn't speak and she wasn't moving and her organs were starting to shut down. Mm-hmm. So they kept trying to get us to take off the respirator. And we were like, no, as long as that, you know, there's life, that, you know, then, you know, there's a chance, because we was hoping that she was going to come out of it, because she's always came out of it before. And I'd say probably like a day or two before COVID hit, that's when she passed away. And they tried to put on her when she passed COVID.
Did she? May I ask, Chris? Did she test positive with regards to the tests that they had at that time?
No, she did not. For COVID, she did not pass a test positive for COVID, but that's what they tried to put down.
No, they didn't have a test even back then. Hell, they don't have one now. They, you know, this is all political.
But I'm saying that that's what they tried to label her as passing away with, when she already had pre-existing issues. So to me, there's something more going on here other than just people getting sick.
Well, what do you think it is?
And the government caring about, like, people, the amount of people that are getting sick. Whenever you ever known the government to care?
Yeah, no, the government don't care. What do you think is going on?
About you getting sick. And then when you do, so they threw out these random or these numbers, you know, but they don't do the percentages on the numbers. And when you look at the percentages on the numbers, the percentages are like low.
Like, what do you mean by low?
So, for instance, if I say, like, you know, 200 million people are dying a day from such and such, could be cancer, whatever, the numbers look huge. Oh, 222 million a day. You do the math on that, like, that's going to come out to some astronomical number. We got to do something about this. But if you look at it in the percentage wise, the numbers is fairly low. So what do you think about that, Ernest?
We've been looking at the numbers for a long time since this thing started because we were concerned. You know, the first thing, I'm not an idiot. I mean, you know, I'm going, oh, you give them a couple of weeks, but I knew that they're, whether it was valid or not, they were going to, you know, jerk us around because that's what they do. So we go, all right, what's the problem? Well, it's respiratory and the lungs. You got these issues and that. I go, okay, well, how do you say it's a virus? Okay, well, how do you stop that? Well, we have a bunch of scientists on and so on. They, you know, chaga mushrooms stops the replication process of the virus. So we got a bunch of that. It was like $80 for like a year supply of dried, but you know, whatever the heck. So we get that before that was out. Selenium, you know, helps. Zinc and silver, colloidal silver. And I mean, we just stocked up on all the goodies. We haven't gotten sick a day since this entire year. Heck, I haven't been sick for years because I've been, you know, doing these kind of preventatives. And then I go, all right, then what's the problem? Well, you know, you need to make sure you got your oxygen levels enough. So for $19.99, you get and you have mailed to you a little finger thing, tells you what your oxygen saturation is. Okay, where do I get oxygen? Well, when this goes bad, buying oxygen tanks isn't going to be a thing. You know, that's going to be hard. So you go, all right, oxygen generators are $300 online. So boom, before things got expensive, before things got stupid, from H1N1, I already had enough toilet paper to supply my 4 kids and 12 grandkids. So, I mean, you know, we grandkids go in the attic. Oh, well, here's all the toilet paper. Yep, there it is. Papa knew. Because when any time that they do something stupid or economic or piss me off, I go, well, there's another 50-pound bag of beans. So it's just preparation because I already don't trust the government. So what happened was when this happened, I'm going, all right, we'll go ahead and get oxygen sensors to make sure that we don't fall below and start our organs dying and cascading into. Because if I go to the hospital, what are they going to do? They're going to check your oxygen saturation. They're going to give you oxygen if you need it. But if you do a ventilator, that kills people. So we knew better than to do that.
Well, ventilators don't necessarily kill people. But
hell, Dad.
The high percentage of people who have gone into ventilators when they intubate, as they call it, then a large percentage of those people have died. But I understand that percentage of those people dying who are going to intubation has been reduced with different therapies they have. They're learning more and more as COVID, you know, goes
through.
There's
too much pressure. They are exploding the air sacs in your lungs. It causes all kinds of, they don't know what they're doing. It was just a PR thing. We need more ventilators. More ventilators.
How do you explain the fact that hospitals get kickbacks for calling COVID or COVID?
Because they can. The hospitals are going out of business, man. In New York, they're going broke. You get somebody on a ventilator, you got like $30,000 extra just for putting them on a ventilator. How many ventilators can we get so we can put them on a ventilator? And that's what Nurse Erin, a woman we interviewed, and she made a big deal. She was down in Florida where they weren't doing all this stuff, and they're getting all ready and twiddling their thumbs, and, you know, everybody's, you know, we're going to have all these bodies in triage, and didn't happen. So you had all these nurses. Well, who needs help? New York? All right, fine. We'll go there and make some money. They go to New York, and she could see. You went on a ventilator, you died. And she goes, the only person, one of her patients, that didn't die from being on a ventilator was a drug addict that was able to, you know, kind of, you know, fight off the drugs they had him on to paralyze you, because he'd kind of been used to drugs, I guess, and he pulled it out of his own throat. Then he goes to the, oh, you saved my life, thank you. And she's crying that she didn't say, he saved his own life by pulling that ventilator out. So this is all going to come out.
Didn't Dr. Milkovich say something about how or what this was created from?
You can tell by its generations that it takes for these things to mutate and evolve that, you know, I'm not a scientist, but all the guys that I talk to, they go, this was lab produced. You know, you can't get what they call gain of function.
It's not obvious at all that it was lab produced.
It's obvious.
There's all kinds of studies that have shown it was not produced in a lab. It was produced. It came about through stupid practices at wet markets in Wuhan, like slaughtering bats.
Yeah,
near
I
where
know
you
they,
have
they say all this stuff, but let me tell you what is, you know, whether they can make the direct link or I could or not, it's not even the point. During this, what was illegal and what Fauci did and what Dr. Mikovits has been talking on my show for years and for us to watch out for, and here it is, because she wrote a book called Plague. Then the second book was Plague of Corruption. She has a third book on the truth about masks and so on that they are banning and censoring everywhere. That's amazing. Banning books, man. It's just, you know, man, here we go. So what she was talking about is Fauci and them were doing what they called gain of function for weaponizing these viruses. Well, that was made illegal years ago and said, no, we're not doing that anymore. Now, of course, they'll say we need to be able to defend against this stuff. Well, of course, you know, to defend against it, you got to make it. So offensive, defensive is all the same thing. So what was illegal was for them doing research on gain of function of these coronaviruses. Well, to be able to do it, they funnel a little money here. They go to the Chinese here. The Chinese fund U.S. here. Fort Detrick does this here. We have, I mean, it was, so all of this was criminal behavior. And that's the one thing that they're freaking out about. They don't want to be prosecuted. So that's why they got China involved in a lot of this. But it is stipulated that, yes, they were doing gain of function research. There's no getting around it.
Game of function? Is
no,
that what you
gain,
said?
Gain. G-A-I-N. Gain of function.
Gain of function.
Yeah, they want it to be
research.
Able
what
to be. Well, it means that you're taking these viruses and you're selectively breeding, you know, for features in it. Like, you know, one of the things is that it goes after certain ethnicities. Israel has been all about and need to get them some Palestinians, you know, that doesn't affect Israelis.
You have ethno-specific viruses.
Absolutely. You know, true. And this is the big thing. If you do, you like James Corbett, CorbettReport.com/Gates, a four-part series on Bill Gates and all his eugenics that him and his family's been involved in since for freaking ever. And Kenya in Africa, they get them some Gates or putting them in jail. And India also. These have been creating polio epidemics, and they were sterilizing people.
Africa has gone on record stating that they didn't want Gates's organization or their vaccines in their country. I wonder why.
Because you're sterilizing them.
All of the countries in Africa have gone on record stating that they do not want Bill Gates or his organizations in their country, and that they are not going to take their vaccines. I watch African news channels all the time.
Yeah, because they want to take over Africa. You go, well, we're after all the oil and resources. How come we're not going after Africa? We are.
Know what the foundation is doing with these vaccines. That's why they're going on.
Yeah, you depopulate the entire continent. Guess what? It's all whoever comes in with a pickup truck and a shovel. I mean, you know, this is so obvious and been going on for so long, but everybody worries about what PBS and NBC and ABC and CBS and, you know, CNN and even Fox says. And I'm going, look, man, if you think you're getting the news from them, you haven't been paying attention.
Well, I don't think it's obvious at all, but I just want to get your sources straight here.
Hey, I'm
Ernest.
Not saying it. Talk to the African nations.
The Corbett Report that we're familiar with, both Chris and I, had a report on Bill Gates' involvement with vaccines. That's your main source for this idea that you have. It's not obvious at all that Bill James Gates is intentionally trying to kill people off through the use of vaccines.
If you do the research on Bill Gates and their foundation, there's no other any rational individual can come to the conclusion that both Ernest and myself are telling you. But yeah, on James Corbett's on CorbettReport.com, he has a series of audios that details the history of Gates, his foundation, his father Gates Sr., and his connection to Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. And so all of that information is readily out there for people to view, but it's not going to be on your mainstream sources.
No, it was on mainstream sources. This is the one thing
especially now because they're censoring everything.
Yeah, see, this is what happened. A lot of this information is stuff that we've known for years. And James just consolidated it and made it clear. But this is stuff we've known for a long time. You know, there's no secrets on this. It's not even hidden. You know, you have Gates and all his buddies. They believe that there's too many people. They're about population control.
They openly tell you what they want to do.
And this is how they're doing it.
I have never seen any such evidence of that whatsoever.
Would it matter?
Conspiracy. Yes, it would.
All right, cool.
Who study various conspiracy theories has said this idea that Bill Gates is trying to kill people through the use of vaccines in the third world is complete nonsense. Has no evidence to support it. Now,
so you're
just saying that. How do you know that?
He's creating vaccines to help poor dark skinned people in other countries
because he loves them so much.
Given his
most likely, yes.
Given the history of his father and his connection to Margaret Sanger.
Well, that's a good point, Chris.
Who's openly stated that not only that children are weeds, but in particular, colored children are weeds and should be eradicated from the.
Don't blame Bill Gates for the sins of his father.
I'm not blaming Bill Gates.
Blame Bill Gates for his statements and for his actions.
I'm not blaming Bill Gates for the mistakes of his father. What I am looking at is the history of the organization that you're connected to, that you and that you inherited from your father and that you're connected to. And I'm also listening to the stuff that you're saying.
You know, I do a weekly show.
It's
with,
not matching up.
That's fair.
To you being a benevolent human being.
I assume that all three of us want the same things. I mean, we want to, you know, live left alone and raise our children and, you know, be productive and, you know, be treated fairly and equally under the law and, you know, and all this other stuff. But it's always you just, you know, how is that best served? You know, how do we do that? And I guarantee it is not from a central plan of someone with a lot of power that's consolidated to do whatever, maybe in the name of that, but they do what they want for their reasons, never for mine. That was why my show is Declare Your Independence. The Declaration of Independence was very clear. The purpose of government was to defend individual rights. When it didn't do that, it was time to alter or abolish. It's your right. It's your duty. So that's where we are now. When you do want to alter it, you know, well, where do you do that? At the ballot box. Well, what do? You know, it's all corrupted. And I'm going, wow. I ran, you know, cause you know, there he remembers. You know, I ran for Secretary of State in 94 and in 06. I ran for county recorder in 08. I've run for state legislature a couple of times, Congress three times, against John McCain for U.S. Senate. Been there a bunch of times. County chairman of the Libertarian Party all through the 90s. And I'm telling you, I don't think I know. I know. I've been to the logic and accuracy test. We videotaped everything. We've had the newspaper and radio personalities come with us as we go to Maricopa County elections. I have my counterparts at the Republican and Democratic Party both sign the paper saying unplug the counting computers during the 94 election cycle because they were plugging T1 lines into the back of the tabulation computers. And they signed it. I signed it. They both got fired within 24 hours. I'm telling you, it is so corrupt on so many levels to say you have to give me evidence it's not corrupt. I mean, sir, what's your evidence that they're corrupt? Oh my God, how long do we got? You know,
speaking of that, since we're on the corruption issue, that brings me to this whole 2020 election. What are your thoughts on what's going on in regards to the whole Biden?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. We knew it was going to happen. We filed suit in 08 on exactly this because in the 04 election, we had Kerry and Bush had, you know, all kinds of problems. And the reason is that we found out that there was a race that was within 50 votes that automatically triggers a recount. Well, then it, you know, all of a sudden there's like 500 extra ballots. Well, then the computers kept changing. Then it would finally, you know, Senator Harper from Sun City gets up and he's a Senate chairman of the Oversight Committee of whatever the heck. And he says, you know what? I'm done. Bring all the ballots in. We'll bring them into the majority caucus in the Senate and we'll sit there and we will count them this afternoon. It's done. Let's do it. Bring them. Let's do it. Within hours, the FBI showed up Maricopa County going, where are the ballots? They were, oh, well, they're stored next to my, ha, ha, ha. They were in some storage locker at Sky Harbor or something. So they go down there, they took them, and you never would hear anything more about it. At that time, I was running for Secretary of State again in 06. And I go, look, let me tell you what's going to happen. They took these, and I went live on Channel 15, ABC, and I go, they took these, and I guarantee you never hear another word about the corruption in that election. And you didn't, because they took away the evidence. Well, then Senator Aaron Johnson introduced and got passed in the legislature manual validation. And Harper also put in there after they did this to him is that, you know, when he asked for those ballots and all of a sudden the FBI showed up without even a claim of jurisdiction, they just took them. So he goes, all right. So they introduced legislation that you had, I think it's a 1% or 2% manual validation. You just randomly pick precincts and then you see what the computer said and what you hand counted. Well, then they did away with that. And because that 08 election cycle, Harper also put in that you could see them 24/7 on a webcam in the treasurer's vault that they had an elections department there that they put them in the election or whatever, the room. Well, all of a sudden they were gone. Where did they find them? They found them in the Sheriff Arpaio's training room that a bunch of people in there working with. So the libertarians filed suit. We go to the courts and they go, well, it was all over and it's too late and, you know, none of your business, doesn't matter and too bad. And we're going, really? So these laws obviously don't mean anything. So, you know, I don't think I know. I know. And how they do it, it started in 1994. You know, you got time. In 5 minutes, I can tell you exactly how they did it. You want to know?
That's uninterrupted. It's okay with you, Chris.
No, because I kind of want to get in. I want to see how.
All right, I'll tell you exactly what my first, you know, impression of this was. As I was becoming an activist, it came with the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act of 88. My father's company shipping to Europe, whatever. I'm going, man, what the hell is going on? Because I could see what they were doing. They were yelling about how it's for small business and export and so on, but that really wasn't it. They wanted to control it. It had to go through these certain freight forwarders and consultants and everything. They got all the benefits, not an individual exporter. You had to go with them and they get their cut, like they're the mob or something. I'm going, oh, I get it. How do they get away with this? And I started researching. It was politics. It was election law. They eliminated competition before it started. You may choose from communist candidate A or fascist candidate B. And we don't care which one, but definitely not these freedom guys or somebody's got another eye. Nope, it's got to go through this system. So I filed lawsuit. I got standing in 1990. I went all the way to the Ninth Circuit as my own attorney. Pro se, oral argument before the Ninth Circuit. I say this about that, I got an argument. Well, by that time, the state of Arizona had put a stay on it and kept delaying it for a few years because it kept changing the laws, even though they'd make it worse, but it was different. So you couldn't challenge what they were doing because they made it different. Well, that's when they started having independents could vote in libertarian primaries. The libertarians, we had 20,000 registered voters, and they're going to let 250,000 independents determine who our candidates are? Where's your right of association there? Where's your First Amendment right of association? Then we had, you know, well, independents, you had to pay for a primary, but you couldn't vote in it. You had to vote for who the party said was available in the general election. Well, there's taxation without representation. It didn't used to be that way. And what happened was after Watergate in 76, 78 election cycle, they took the entire Title 16, threw it in the trash, and got the two-party system. And it was called the anti-communist legislation because they outlawed Communist Party by becoming communist. And I'm going, wow, man, these guys are amazing. So I understood what they were doing and what their motivation was. So in 1994, when I ran for Secretary of State, I could see what was going on. As a Secretary of State, they require that you sign off and certify the election. I go, there is no way in hell I'm going to sign that. And who was I running against? Pete Rios was president of the Senate, the Democrat, and Jane D. Hole was a Speaker of the House, a Republican. And while I'm doing all that, I'm getting endorsed by, you know, the colleges and the high schools and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, getting standing O's, man, what he said, all of a sudden they're like, "Ooh, yeah, we're for transparency, and we're going to clean it up." And I'm like, right. Well, I didn't hardly spend any money. I still got 8%. They can't have that. Oh, we got to ratchet it down even more. So it just more and more. And what they did in 94, they had big giant IBM computers in the Republican state headquarters. Before the Republican guy left, because we'd speak at schools and also my counterpart in the Democrats. We go to high schools and talk about, you know, politics and all that kind of stuff. He knew what my spiel was. So he called me down to the Republican Party and showed me the IBM punch card or the bar scanner reader. They sent out 1.3 million early ballot requests. And when they first started doing that, Symington did, because Phil Gramm was running for president and he wanted Arizona to be one of the first states so he'd give him a leg up. What they did is they sent to every registered Republican voter an early ballot request form, and it said, no perforation. You had this postcard that you pulled out. It was already pre-addressed, prepaid. What, you just drop it in the mailbox, boom, and it went to the elections department. But it wasn't Maricopa County elections. It was the Republican Party election P.O. box. Now, the Democrats do the same thing. They do a bunch of different other stuff, so not give them a pass. But what the Republicans did that year, they took those cards of all the people that requested their early ballot. They ran it through that IBM in their, you know, lobby there or whatever. Big machine like at Kinko's with these big copy-looking things. They ran the cards through, and that generated a list. So then they had a big phone bank of, I don't know, it was at least, you know, a dozen or two dozen phones. So you go there, and they created this big green list of phone numbers to call. They call them from their voter registration. Who are you voting for? And they wanted to know for Governor Fife Symington, for U.S. Senate John Kyle, and for Congress John Shattuck. And if you answered correctly, those ballots got mailed to Maricopa County Elections Department for you to get your early ballot. If you didn't, it got thrown in the trash. Well, we were dumpster diving and saw them. I still got stacks of them that I saved of these very cards that they didn't forward because they didn't answer the phone survey correctly. So when they get their early ballots, they got all the people that they wanted that got voted for in the primary. And they still do this. You can print it on a freaking tray liner at McDonald's or something and send it to whoever. They can call you, see if you're going to vote right, and then they forward it to Maricopa County. Then when Maricopa County goes to validate these or the signatures that are supposed to be on them and so on, they accumulated them until they got a big, giant number, about 100,000 of them, and then they would dump them on 10,000, 100,000 at a time to Maricopa County elections. I did a Freedom of Information request to Maricopa County, and we had brought in the Arizona Republic and Jim Sharp, you know, the morning talk show host, I don't know where he is now, KFYI or something, used to be good friends. So he was there, and they're going, yeah, my spidey senses is going off. Because what do they show? I go, here's the pile of these that they're supposed to collect the signatures. Here are the three computers that they could check the signatures. Show me how long it takes. About 10 seconds, they, you know, scan it in, it comes up, they look at their signature, look at fine, next. To do that tens, if not hundreds of thousands of times, was impossible. They are not doing it. So when they do the mail-in ballots, what do I know? I guarantee they're not checking them. And because we made a big deal out of this, what do they do? John Brakey, good friend of mine, he does a lot of election fraud. Matter of fact, today I had Harvey Wasserman on as a big mail-in ballot guy that came on, progressive, anti-nuke, no nukes guy, you know, Greenpeace guy from the 70s and so on. He comes on, we need mail-in ballots. On paper, of course, hemp paper, so you can smoke it later. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. What happens? They get all these mail in, but they're not checking the signature because they can't. So what do? They give it to a private company, and they are the ones responsible. Yeah, pinky swear, we checked them. Here they are for you to put in the counting computers. So everything that's going on now, it wasn't about, now you can go on about whether the computer rigged it or it was fraudulent, which wouldn't surprise me one bit, but it doesn't matter. If you generate a bunch of paper that go past a line to go into the counting computer, how do you pull out which one was fraudulent? Now, of course, there's hundreds of thousands of them that just had just Biden that they dump at 3 a.m. and all that kind of crap. But how do you know which ones to pull out? You don't. That's the point. They just want to generate as much paper as possible and get them past the line to where they're tabulated. They don't check signatures because they can't. It is impossible. There's too many. It takes too long. Oh, we got artificial intelligence. Yeah, show me. And how long have you had that? You know,
So are you saying that what went on in PA because I listened to the hearings in PA. I listened to the ones in Arizona. I didn't get a chance to listen to the ones in Georgia.
I didn't listen to any of them because I already know. They know. These guys know.
Everybody was saying the same things. And I'm not talking just Republicans. I'm talking Republicans and Democrats from each of those states. And they were saying similar things, that we weren't allowed to view the counting of the ballots, and you know, because you're supposed to have a Republican and a Democrat there. They were saying stuff similar to what you just got through saying, that some of the signatures, you know, were questionable, and some of the ballots were, the mail-in ballots were questionable. And on top of all of that, the fact that the counting, the machines kind of shut down at a certain time, and then,
which always happens,
at night. And then, like, when Trump was up, then all of a sudden machines shut down, and then you have all night, and then when morning comes, and all of a sudden Biden is in the lead by, you know, a couple hundred thousand ballots. So it's, I don't know, it's, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, but where's the proof? You got to have proof. Show me where the fraud was. They don't have to have, you can't show proof. That's the point. Once they get the paper, pass a line, it goes to the tabulating computer, it's too late. That's my point.
So you don't think, so what do you think is going to come out?
It has to be the way it always used to be. Yeah, little old ladies sitting there, and you pay however much you want to incentivize the people to, we can't get anybody to do it because you don't want them to do it. You want them to do it, you pay them to do it. You sit there and you vote paper.
What do you think is going to come out of all of these hearings?
Nothing. It's going to go. Nothing. It's going to be, I tell you what's going to happen is what libertarians have been screaming is going to happen. It's going to be the delegitimization of the government. In 1994, I wrote an article called Legitimacy of Government. You go Legitimacy of Government, Ernest Hancock, and it'll come up. And it keeps coming back to me. I forgot I wrote it for years until, you know, it started coming back to me. It was just on an email list that was popularized. And what happened was, I'm going, look, I can see what's going on. Sooner or later, in 2000, the East Valley Tribune asked me to, I was running for Congress, and they asked me to write an article to encourage people to vote, because nobody was voting anymore. And I go, well, you're talking to the wrong guy. And the title of the article was, Voting Never Freed Anybody. And the point that I was making in there, at some point, you're going to be screaming for the libertarians to participate in all of your debates and online forums and all this other stuff, just so somebody will watch them, so that you can have some legitimacy of the process. Because that's what the result of this is less and less legitimacy of whatever government we have. You think, woohoo, we won, you know, Biden, Trump, whoever's in it, doesn't matter. You know, the legitimacy of the process is suspect. It's not going to make any difference anymore. So then you're going to have states that are going to start claiming sovereignty. We're the small United States of America. We're not this, you know, do away with the Electoral College and it's just a popular vote for the whole nation. I thought it was supposed to be states' rights. Well, that kind of got whittled away with the 17th Amendment, when the states used to be represented by U.S. senators that were selected by the legislature or governor or something like that. When they made them popularly elected, well, then that went away. The states' rights started to get eroded. You're just part of the collective. It just keeps step by step by step. So it's getting to the point, I think the first state that will probably, you know, have a legitimate claim to say, yeah, we're out of here, is Texas. Because Texas always had the right when they came in to secede or to break up in the five states. So then California is going to go, well, we want to secede or break up in the several states. And then you're going to start hearing a lot more about that. And the reason is because the legitimacy of the federal government, the voting process and everything is suspect. So what's it going to go down to? It's going to go down to individuals. You know, and I don't care what the media says. I don't care. But what happens with alternative media? They start bringing up really good questions. So what do? You're deplatformed, demonetized, and censored. Gee, I wonder why. You know, this whole thing is based on legitimacy. That's what they crave among above all else. If it was just force, then they take their F-16s and M-16s and, you know, M1 Abrams and say, hey, we rule you. But it takes more than that. It takes your willing compliance. When that goes,
they don't have the manpower to not to go against,
which is why they put the people that stand up in jail.
Yeah, they don't have the manpower.
We have a gym owner in Scottsdale that was in the paper today. We're going to have the Love Bus. We have our studio built in to this bus, and my wife and I have been traveling around, you know, since May around the country. We went Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Michigan, Washington State, down here for the holidays, and then we're going the southern route during the winter. And as we're here until at least mid-January. Well, all of a sudden, I'm going, yep, we got a restaurant owner in Obregard, northeastern Arizona. Nope, I'm not doing it. We have a gym owner next Friday. We go to his place of business. We're going to, you know, interview him and have a bunch of their gym open. If they don't, you know, put him in jail by then, he's got 15 citations for it. All, I'm like, I'm surprised it took this long. I'm like, what the hell? You're going to go out of business. This is intentional. The middle class, the mom-pa, independent-owned retail, restaurants, gyms, all these, you know, strip center businesses, this is America. Boom. Got to get them off the grid. These are the ones that are in opposition to us. These are the independent, self-sustaining owners. This is the middle class that we got to get rid of. And it's happening like you wouldn't believe right now. So it's not, you know, just to survive. You know, it's to, you know, for the country to survive. We have to have these business owners and this middle class. And I'm telling you, it's going, and it's going fast. Who's standing up? I've been waiting, you know, to help. We help whoever we can around the country. But in Arizona, I did not anticipate it would be so few and so long before they did it. But it's ramping up, and we're here to help.
I just want to back up for a moment here, Ernie, because you said you're talking about a period or maybe 20, 26 years ago concerning, you mentioned, when did a lot of stuff?
Oh, yeah, it got better, right? Is that what you're going to tell me?
What?
You're going to tell me it got better?
You went back about 20, 26 years ago in terms of, and you gave us a lot of specifics, which we really appreciate, about what you encountered within the election process, both your own personal campaigns and other campaigns you saw and, you know, problems you saw. Now, what I want to ask you is if since then, over this time, I guess you've lived in Arizona all these years since then, I believe. Have you gone to the Democratic and Republican candidates for maybe won their primaries or before the primaries for the Secretary of State in Arizona, which is every 4 years at election? And ask them and brought to them, say, hey, here's the problems I saw. You need to be aware of what I experienced, what I saw. And, you know, do you have a plan to make sure that this doesn't happen anymore or doesn't happen again? And so that we have free and fair elections here in Arizona. Did you ever do that?
Through John Brakey, yes. You know, we have him on a regular basis and make sure that he is around the country doing this very thing. In fact, he was there election night and working with Maricopa County elections, tight with the recorder and so on. And I had my, well, did you fix this? Well, we're going to next time. We'll work with Republicans next time. Well, I go, nope, there ain't going to be any next time. So they're not willing to do it. They're not going to, okay, that's all I needed to know. So I didn't need to go talk to him. And it was as recent as 08 that we went to court. I know exactly what's going to happen. This was not unintentional. This was by design. And it's not just a Republican or Democrat thing. It's a control the entire planet thing. When you see with COVID, this is not just America. Heck, in Europe, they're resisting lockdown more than America is. So this is not what you think it is.
At least they're resisting, because down here, like, people... The whole mask thing, it never really made a whole lot of sense to me, because stupid. Right on the back of the package of the mask, it says that it doesn't, you know, it's not going to protect you. But to see people literally afraid to be around another human being, And to be in their car by themselves with a mask on is, I never thought I would see.
If you go to lovebuslibertytour.com, you'll see our bus and us going around and a bunch of the pictures and the signs that we make. We have over 450 yards of sign material that's 60 inches wide that we make a bunch of signs. I'm the sign guy. And if you guys may remember, I'm the one that created the Ron Paul Lovolution logo. And we went all over. That's why it's called the Love Bus. And that love is the same artwork and font that we had with the Lovolution. Well, what was indicative of that campaign? Individual spontaneous order people without going through a campaign put up their own signs. So then we have a 100-watt laser that we cut in thin wood that we have as templates for making 18 by 24 signs. If you look at the pictures on lovebuslibertytour.com, you'll see all over the country we've been doing this. I am not sitting on my hands on this. I know what the real battle is. It's general public opinion. Has nothing to do I talk to legislators? Not anymore. And when I have them on my show, it's all vaccine education summit a year ago. I got five legislators in there. And I'm like, look, I know what you guys are going to do. You're going to screw these activists here by saying you're on their side, a little something, something from pharma, and traitors first. You think I don't know? That's how much I know. I know better than to talk to these people, or they wouldn't have gotten there. That's how you get in office. It's like being a pedophile or corrupt is like a minimum job requirement to be in legislature. I know this. I've been doing this 30 years.
Funny you should bring that one up.
Well, yeah, we've got into the pedophile issue quite a bit in the past. Well, that's what he's talking about, Ernie. But anyhow, go ahead, Chris. You want to say something?
I was like, well, I know you don't necessarily believe that they do that.
Minimum job requirement.
Who to me? They do. I mean, we got to be careful when we use the word they. We use these pronouns about just exactly
they, them, those. You know, this is one thing they always ask me. They go, "Who they? Who's they? You conspirist?" And I'm like, "It's they, them, though. The ones that won't leave me alone. That's how you know who they are. They will not leave you alone. That's who they, them, those are."
Well, I disagree with a lot of what you've had to say, Ernie, but I am not,
bring
you know,
it.
You have to worry about me not leaving you alone. I mean, I was very, you know, interested in having you back on the show because you're always a good interview and you know.
Man, ask me any question. I've been doing this for freaking 30 years, and I'll tell you, I have not. I was over at Air America. I got all the Dennis Kucinich supporters while I'm doing Ron Paul, and you know, what were they? Anti-war. I'm like, hey, we're in, man. Let's all be buds. I am of the opinion that we all want the same thing. It's just that we've been convinced that there's somebody else going to give it to us. And I don't want them to give me a damn thing. I want them to protect my right to be left alone, for me to voluntarily associate with whomever I want to, the way I want to, without surveillance, without censorship, without coercion, without force. You do that, man, we're on the same page. The thing is when people think...
Even if I disagree with you, I don't want to see you censored. I'm totally against censorship. But anyhow, what I want, before we wrap things up here in a little bit, I do want to ask you, Ernie, when we last had you on, you talked a little bit about, you know, your history with the Libertarian Party, being a candidate nominee for different offices under the Libertarian ticket. Where are you nowadays with the Libertarian Party? If I may ask, did you vote for Joe Jorgensen for president, who was also on the ballot in Arizona, or did you even vote, or are you out? Are you in the outs with the Libertarian Party?
That's questionable, because there's some people that says she didn't even appear on the ballot in Arizona.
Oh, I saw her on the ballot. Like my ballot, she was on there.
My sister, I asked her, I was like, so did you vote for Joe? I told you about Joe. And she was like, she wasn't on my ballot. And she's not the only person that's told me that.
That's a statewide ballot. That's there's something wrong there if that's true. There's
I'm just telling you.
And she's not on the ballot statewide. She's not the only person that's told.
I've had at least 10 people tell me that Joe Jorgensen was not.
Okay, I'll give you my voting thing. In 2002, I went, and usually you're feeling good about checking off a box. You know, go shopping, pick up the kids from school, voted, and check off the box. Well, I remember checking off that box after I voted, and I felt bad. I go, like, I did something wrong. And I've learned to trust myself. And I go, I'm not doing that anymore. Not until I know that, you know, it's at least accurate. Then we can get into whether you can vote and ethically or not for make other people do stuff or something. That's a whole nother thing. But I'm going, I know it's bad. I'm supporting the beast that's devouring me. I'm not doing it. But where I vote is every freaking sign I put up, every word out of my mouth, all the activism, living in a bus for a year, going around the country with my wife, making thousands and thousands of signs, helping people. That is my vote. And if you think you're voting by sitting at home, filling out a piece of paper, and then send it to them and trust them to do it accurately for you, then you are delusional.
Okay, so the answer is you don't vote. And you're not an activist with the Libertarian Party anymore. Is that correct?
No, I participated in the national convention, but I wasn't supportive of Joe Jorgensen. I wanted Jacob Hornberger. So after they didn't pick him, I was like, you know, disinterested. So I'm active. There may be me run, you know, for office again. When I come back there for the 22 election cycle, I might be a super butthead. And after filing a dozen lawsuits against the state on this stuff, run for Secretary of State twice and county recorder, gee, I might do it again with a neon freaking flash and I told you so. What would happen then? Huh? Oh, and then I'd be making a bunch of signs. Sign, everywhere a sign.
Well, okay, all right, so You are sort of involved with the Libertarian Party, but you did not. When is the last election? You did not vote in 2020, if I understand. When was the last election?
2002
That you voted in? 2002
Yeah, no, but I ran for U.S. Senate in 2004. I ran for Secretary of State in 2006. I ran for county recorder in 2008. And any reporter comes to me, well, you didn't vote. And I know all the other reporters, the older guys, go, no, you never ask Ernie that question. I mean, you know. So I'm going, really? You want to hear that? All right, here we go. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Because there are so many people that, you know, they got encouraged to vote in this election cycle because they were either for or against Trump, and then all this happened. You know, the legitimacy of government is paramount, and it's represented by the vote. They go, oh, they won't have a vote. They'll cancel the vote, do the vote. I go, hell no. They have to have a vote. Whether it's fraudulent or not, they have to have a vote for whatever they're going to do to be legitimized in the eyes of the people and the world. If they don't do that, it's over. Well, they haven't been. It's been inaccurate and full of crap for a long time. And anybody wants me, I'll walk you through it. You want to get the county recorder, secretary, these guys, I'll go down and I'll walk you right through exactly how they did it. And I guarantee they didn't check the signatures. I guarantee they produced as much paper as they possibly could, and they dump it on them at the last minute, even after voting is closed. That's how they do it. That's how they always do it.
About ballot stuffing is what the old thing they did in Chicago and Philadelphia in the 19th century. Is that what you're talking about? You mean say a bunch of paper that they're throwing a bunch of ballots in there that aren't real ballots that were voted on by individuals? Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that when you produce a bunch of paper, be it an early ballot, dead people, whatever it does, it doesn't matter. Mail-in makes it a lot easier. When you have a bunch of paper, all you have to do is get it past a line to where it's authorized to go into the tabulating computers. Where that line is the validation of those ballots, either by the signature matching or they, you know, dropped it off at a voting tabulation center, or it got sent to somewhere, somebody for something, you know, however they do it. Or they just generate a bunch of them and get them past the line at 3 o'clock in the morning and put them through the tabulating computers. Once you go through that tabulating computers, you got a stack of ballots that are anonymous. Even if they just have Joe Biden's name on it, how do you extract them out? You can't. That's the point. That's when they generate a bunch of extra paper and get them past that line to go to the tabulating computers. And it doesn't matter, because what they'll do is they'll take, the computer says this many. They pull out the paper and they go, yep, that's what it says. It's accurate. What's accurate? Them counting a bunch of paper they created.
Oh, you're generating a bunch of paper. You're talking about ballot stuffing. We got to get language clear here. That's just what you're accusing the Arizona election system of doing is ballot stuffing. You say generate paper, you're talking about ballots that are not
ballot
real
stuffing.
Ballots.
What the definition of ballot stuffing was is they would take extra pieces of paper and put them into a ballot box. That was ballot stuffing. Now, whatever you call this, you know, I call it, you know, getting it past the line. That's what it is. I mean, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but actual ballot stuffing was extra paper at the ballot box.
Might something being presented and counted as a ballot that's not a real ballot because it hasn't been voted.
Oh no, it's a real ballot. Oh, they got it through the printer and they put it through the mail and they sent it to, you know, a bunch of people. And then we hadn't even got into ballot harvesting where you go into. See, I had when they did the last about 5 years ago, there was legislation that the Republicans passed to make it more difficult for the libertarians to get on the ballot. They did a referendum to put it on the ballot for the people to vote on. That was funded to the tune over $500,000, hundreds of thousands of dollars by the Democratic Party or the Democratic, you know, consortium of money or whatever. We didn't pay for it. But they did. Why? Because they wanted it easier for libertarians to get on because in their mind, it made it easier for Democrats to win. We split the Republican vote is what they're thinking. So we're like, yeah, whatever. Barry Hess, the candidate for governor, was head of that committee, made a big deal. When it qualified for the ballot, the Republicans pulled that legislation off. The reason was is because in the late 90s, when they did initiatives, they had an initiative for legalization of marijuana or decriminalize it a lot or something. When that happened, it won 76% or something. But that was November. By January, when the legislative session came back in, they said, we don't like it. And they made it illegal again, even though the people voted on it. Well, Sperling, that owns University of Phoenix, was the money behind it. Well, that pissed him off. So what did he do? He does another initiative that says whenever people pass an initiative, it takes 3/4 or a supermajority of something, 2/3, 3/4 or whatever, of the legislature to undo something the people voted on. That's why they pulled that, because they knew if it got voted on, they would never, ever be able to stop the libertarians for getting on the ballot as candidates easily, you know, or fairly, because it was a percentage of people that are registered in your party. Well, they made it different for libertarians. Even the Green Party or other parties that qualified for the ballot got on easier. It was just the libertarians. They had to get extra signatures to get on the ballot. Well, what do? You had to go file suit. To whom? I went through this in 94. I filed it in July of 91. It finally made it to the court in December of 94. And they're just like, yeah, well, you made it on, so life sucks. I'm going, this is a rigged game. And the whole thing is from top to bottom. And that's why they had to get rid of Trump. He was putting in judges and Supreme Court justices that weren't under their control. Whether you support Trump or not, that was what's going on. It wasn't part of their machine. So you can give me any kind of circumstances about this election thing, and I got 15 gazillion stories of how they're full of crap. They do not care about your rights. They don't care about equality. They don't care about equal protection under the law. They don't care. They care about power and what's in it for them. Then you find out, why would Ducey, a Republican, do the stuff that he's doing and mandates and all that? Then you start finding out, you know, where his money's at and what it's invested in and, you know, who he knew in college or high school. Yeah, whatever. I'm not, you know, you don't get to be a legislator without having skeletons in your closet to begin with. It doesn't happen. And then we found out. You know, Patrick Byrne of Overstock.com, a billionaire that I've been covering him since 09 on my show. We become friends. He spoke at our Freedom Summit. You know, we go to, several overlapping speeches at different functions. And all of a sudden, Patrick Byrne comes on and he was challenging naked short selling, what the corruption in the stock market. You're against corporations? Well, so was he. He's like, look, let me show you what they're doing. So he takes a crypto solution, a blockchain solution, and calls it T0. It's on NASDAQ, Overstock stocks on there. It's so that you don't have this ability to, you know, make up stock. And anyway, it's a blockchain thing. Well, all of a sudden, he goes away. He could see what was going on the FBI and the Russia gate and all the stuff that was happening. And he got in the middle of it with the FBI and he goes, no, I can see what's going on. Let me tell you everything that I know and I'm out. So he goes away for months. He comes back. he has a bunch of hackers, white hats, because in 18, Texas found Dominion and what they were doing. And they go, so they were watching out for it this time. They sat there and watched it in real time happen. That's what a lot of this evidence that you're seeing Giuliani and, you know, and Powell and whatever is going on about was a lot of this from Patrick Byrne, super high IQ Stanford super geek guy with a bunch of white hat hackers and NSA and military intelligence people. They knew what happened. So then what happens? He goes, I met the person that didn't push the button for Hillary in 16. This was supposed to be Hillary's presidency, and they didn't engage the fraud. Really? Or at least a big one that they were doing in the Fraction Magic or whatever. So I've yet to have him on to talk about that. So what's my first question? Who the hell was that? Well, they probably won't tell me. But what was it? Why didn't they push it? Why didn't they engage that? What happened? That man, they were, it wasn't going to happen again. I guarantee it. And Biden, seriously? That was your A game? It's not really Biden. This thing is Kamala Harris. I guarantee it. Yeah. Biden's gone, man. It was always Kamala.
Yeah, you could tell. You could tell he's not all there. Like,
He doesn't need to be there. He doesn't care. He's on vacation and retired.
I know he has like a bad speech impediment, but like even still, like you can tell he's not all there.
No, I think he is all there. But go ahead,
one,
Chris.
I got one other thing for you. And yeah, I'm sorry. I got one more thing. The rampant censorship that's going on across the globe now,
which we should all be concerned about. Primary
concern. Which we yeah, exactly. The fact that the mainstream media is, and really it's they're owned by big corporations. They're censoring so much stuff and not allowing other things to get airplay, other alternative sources to get airplay, all under the banner of. They want to knock out fake news, but they're the biggest fake news game in town. What are your thoughts on that?
They have to. We knew this was going to happen back in, it was about late 90s. And I remember Paul Schatt, the editorial page editor of the Arizona Republic, came and spoke at the Breakfast Club that I was associated with. And, we send up written questions, and I, just to be a butthead because I'm Ernie, I wrote the question. I go, how many weeks do you think is going to pass before the internet bypasses the printed newspaper? And this was his answer. He goes, no. You need a conservative newspaper like the Arizona Republic and a conservative editor like me to tell you what you need to know. Whoa. Tape, please, because that was their attitude. We knew that sooner or later, the ability for people, and oh my goodness, we didn't even have video on the internet. FreedomsPhoenix.com didn't start until 05, immediately after YouTube started. We had the idea for Freedoms Phoenix in 96. When video hits the internet, boom, it's all over. Well, what do they have to do? When they lost control of the narrative, they have to shut down any competing narrative. They have to censor. Because truth is truth. It always comes out. What they're looking for is legitimacy. So what you'll see is we'll do a bunch of stuff. It'll be a month or two, and we'll be out there with the love bus being butthead, and you'll see signs everywhere. And then all of a sudden, everybody will know it. Everybody will see them. And then they'll go, we don't tell you the news. We put the spin on the olds. They're going to try and tell you what it means. They'll misquote. They'll do whatever. They get the picture of the guy with the, floppy hat, boonie Vietnam camo hat, and say militia or whatever the hell they do. That's what they do. So by that time.
They redefine the word militia. So militia, most people think militias are like racist whites and bent on the destruction of the United States, and nothing could be further from the truth.
You know what I saw when the Black Panthers come out and they got guns? I was like, right freaking on.
Category. That's the thing. They lump them all in one category.
Well, I think that's a mistake. I'd agree with that.
And so that's what I mean by putting a spin on it. For instance, like if you're on YouTube and you don't say certain things in your videos, they take your video down. or if you talk about certain things that
they have to do. You know, what would be their alternative? Letting competing, because online opinions are equal. You know, I mean, you know, they try and make sure it's not. They want to, you know, they have all the whiz-bang opening jet fighters going by, explosion of cool graphics. But, you know, hell, you got, you know, any YouTuber, you know, worth of salt has got great, you know, intros. You know, I go, what's their value? It's the information. You know, it's the credibility of the people that come on and talk. It's all these frontline doctors and scientists saying, look, this is all a lie. So what did they do? Dr. Mikovits was on today. She has a book about masks. It's censored. It's considered a non-essential item. You can't even order it on Amazon. I'm like,
they've totally tried to discredit her. Like, I know, They imprison her for a little bit, like,
yeah, they arrested her without charge and did it was all kinds. It's in the book. Read the book. Plague. Yes. You know. Okay. Yeah, let me. I want to finish. I want to finish on this one. Yeah. Thank you. I apologize. I knew you were tight on time, and I wanted to, you know, the censorship thing. One of the things that we did 3 years ago, my IT guy came to me, and the third letter of Captain Mark on PiratesWithoutBorders.com. The third letter of Captain Mark is all about hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. It's about privacy on the internet. It's about censorship. It's about leave me aloneism and, you know, and we can be private and they can't surveil. Well, what we saw coming was all of this, the deplatforming, all that kind of stuff. Because after the Lovelution, the first Ron Paul campaign in 08 and 09, they started censoring a bunch of us. They started taking down monetization abilities and everything on YouTube. The libertarians and the supporters of Ron Paul were the first. And we knew this was coming. This is 09. This is 11 years ago. So we go, all right. So I pulled all my promotion on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, we still have the accounts, but I don't interface with it. Don't look at it. Don't care. Okay? We look for blockchain, you know, uncensorable, different platforms that we're working with, and we build there. What happened was, is I go, we need to have a decentralized version that we can have our own internet three-point kiss my butt, and there's nothing they can do about it. My IT guy comes in, he says, Ernie, it's called IPFS, Interplanetary File System. And he goes, you need to look at this. So we looked at it and so on. I go, oh, I see what's going on. You post to your own computer on the hard drive or on a server farm, you can have that. But you can pin it, it's kind of like Tor, but you pin the files to your own computer that are then replicated on other computers. Anytime somebody asks for that file, it gets copied. So it gets faster the more popular it is. So we did full 16 terabyte servers that we put a bunch of the sites on and people that we knew were going to be deplatformed. So we did We Are Change and Press for Truth with Dan Dix and World Alternative Media and Larkin Rose stuff and James Corbett. So Corbett understood this. He was on board with it. He knew exactly what was coming. So if you go to freedomsphoenix.com at the top right, where it says Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, the radio show, if you go to any one of those shows, like today's show, you go into it and you scroll down into the bottom and you'll see these IPFS addresses, ones to James Corbett's show. His entire site is copied. We have over 40,000 videos that we replicated from our site. We have like over 500,000 entries on Freedoms Phoenix since 05 that we put up there. We copied the entire site onto Interplanetary File Sharing and seeded it to the planet. That is, and you go on James Corbett's IPFS server and it's faster than the World Wide Web. Why? Because it's popular. And the more popular it gets, the faster it goes. And you can't censor it. So this into the spring, this last summer, what happened? A lot of the patrons that, you know, fund us funded the movie Plandemic. When Mickey put out the movie Plandemic featuring Dr. Judy Mikovits, they kept playing whack-a-mole, taking it off of YouTube, Vimeo, sites, shutting down domains, whatever they wanted. Really? We put it up on IPFS. It got downloaded over 1 billion with a B times in your face. Social media. So what happens when they come out with the second part? Same thing. You know, we put it on Interplanetary File Sharing and they can't take it down. But it doesn't.
Okay, okay. Ernie, I'm all looking at your site right now. Looking at today's Freedom Phoenix, December 2nd. Okay, I'm at the top. So I want
to. It says declare your independence, Ernest Hancock, at the top right. You see that? Are you on the front page?
I'm on the top of the front page. It's uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies, reigniting the flames of freedom. That's in the upper right hand corner. That's what I see.
Okay, well, hit the top left bird because you're probably not on the front page.
Bird, hit the bird. Okay, hit the bird. Let me see what comes up here. It's jumping to something here. I just touched the bird, the gold bird. And it's got a different configuration here. So
click on declare your independence.
Declare your independence.
Yeah, click on that.
Okay. There's no directions here. I'm just following your directions.
Yeah. Now the top story today, I had Dr. Judy Mikovits there. Just click on that show. The hyperlink for
Dr. Judy Mikovits. Okay, that's it.
Okay, now take the scroll bar and scroll down to say hour 3 and you go down to below pandemic, her books, all the way down to the bottom because we put this on every page there.
Hang on. Okay, so Harvey Wasserman, Judy Mikovits, that's the show on the top. Okay, that's number 1.
Yeah, scroll down to the bottom. Just go all the way down to the bottom.
Okay. All right.
Scroll up here a little bit and you'll see the Love Bus picture.
Love Bus. Okay, just a second here. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on here. It's not Corvette. Jay Noon is Judy Mikovits at the very bottom. I'm still on pages 1. So
yeah, no, just take the scroll and go all the way to the bottom of the page. Just all the way down to the bottom.
I went all the way to the bottom. The last thing. Okay, well, let me do that.
While
okay.
He's doing that, I want to ask you.
Okay, well, I'll just walk him through. You see where that picture it says the Love Bus? It has the bus there?
No, I don't.
Well, scroll up. Just
the very bottom of this,
yeah,
page
just scroll 1. Just scroll up a little bit. You'll scroll up like 1 page and you'll see the picture.
Okay, I'm scrolling up. Okay. I got James Corbett podcast. Then they got Richard Mack, John Whitehead, Tim Pratt. Okay, John Brakey, Mike Roth.
Oh, no. You didn't click on – it doesn't matter. Click on one of those shows, the hyperlink to the date.
Just click on any one of those shows.
Yeah, just click on a show.
Okay, there's 11-4-20. That's James Corbett's show. I clicked on that, waiting for it to activate here. Okay, now.
Okay, now scroll down to the bottom of that page.
Okay. Okay, there's hour 1 to 3 down. Okay, wait, there's more stuff here. Okay, let me keep scrolling down. Podcast, James Corbett, Corbett Report. I'm scrolling down. James Corbett, latest videos. Corbett Report, James Corbett videos, James Auto Files.
You'll scroll down until you see the Love Bus. It'll be a picture of the side of a bus.
It'll be a picture of an actual bus. Okay, there we go. I got it. Love Bus. Okay, got it.
Okay, now that's where I'm sitting right now. In there is a studio. That's me sitting back in there. Now you scroll up
that's
a little
my
bit.
Video.
You scroll up a little bit and you say, see, it says the Corbett Report. https://ipfs.io. You see that?
Just a second. I'm scrolling back.
It's right above the Love Bus picture.
Okay. I see all James Corbett audio files, all James Corbett videos.
Did you click on IPFS, the IPFS Corbett report?
IPFS, just a second. Okay. All right. Okay. I see that. All James Corbett videos below that is IPFS. So scroll. So hit that.
Yeah, this is the Corbett Report IPFS with a bunch of hash. It looks like a Bitcoin address.
.io. Okay, that is my little tablet here. It's an old iPad. It's a little slow, but it's opening up here. We're just trying to see how to access stuff, you know, on your site, you know, for.
Well, see this IPFS. Stuff. This is the backup of his entire work. That's on servers replicated around the world that can never be taken down. And it works faster than the World Wide Web.
I have a really quick question for you.
Go.
How is there any way you can tell me how to get in touch with Dr. Mikovits and James Corbett?
Sure. Send me an email. Send it to Donna for contact information. And I'll send you at least their email. And you can communicate with them that way. And that's up to them whether they want to talk to you or not.
Okay, cool.
I'm sure they would.
That still has no opinion. Just really, maybe, I don't know if it's our internet here at Radio Phoenix. It's ipfs.io, but it's just the blue line is just moving really, really slow.
I'll figure it out.
I just went FYI.
Well, Real quick, also tell the people how to get in contact with you and how to...
You go to freedomsphoenix.com, freedom with an S, freedomsphoenix, P-H-O-E-N-I-X, spelled out, .com. And it is, you go to the top center that says join us. You get the email dispatch every day, twice a day. It's just chock full of, man, it's just... Well, we have the left and the right and libertarian, and we got, you know, progressives and hardcore Trumpers and everybody, you know, post that, because I'm not afraid. Bring it on, man. Say what you got to say. You want to know what I say? Go listen to my show or read my articles. And I'm like, that's exactly what I say. I'm not bashful about it, but I let everybody have their say.
So you're not vouching for these different articles that you're putting on your Freedom Phoenix email that I get on a regular basis, you know.
No, because then I'd be
Googled. You're not vouching for all that stuff. Some of those things on there you don't agree with, maybe.
Yeah, no, especially. You know, then I'd be Google or YouTube or something. You know, okay. No, I am like, you make up your own damn mind. I'm not your mother, you know, but I do.
That's how it's supposed to be. You give people the information and let them make up their own mind.
Yeah, Harvey Wasserman comes on today on the show. I didn't agree with hardly anything he said, but that doesn't mean we can't have a pleasant conversation.
Yeah, real quick, Ernie, before we let you go, finally it came up here, IPFS, and then it says index, blah, blah, blah. And then down below is like 2010 DVD fireworks, MP4. And then all these different MP4s that are on here.
Well, that may be something else that you clicked on or you did the wrong one or something, because it works really fast for me. This thing's zooming. It's the first hyperlink above the Love Bus picture.
Well, okay, so I'm on the, because it's IPFS, is about IPFS, install IPFS. That's where I'm at. So I'm on the wrong spot.
That or you got a, I don't know.
I'll back up.
A weird computer or something. I don't know. You know?
Okay. It's not a big deal.
Give me the web address. I'll do it, because that one.
Yeah, just go to freedomsphoenix.com. The top right, you'll see it says Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. You click on that, and it'll show all the shows, like today's show, you know, or James Corbett, you know, tonight. And you just click on the hyperlink of one of the shows. You scroll down to the bottom, you'll see the Love Bus picture of the bus, and it's the first link right above that. Boom.
That might be a very mistake.
I got it. All right. Ernest, I thank you for being on the show. Tell Donna we're going to be contacting her again.
I'd love for you guys to talk to Corbett. Bring it on, man. And Dr. Judy, she'll answer every question. She's very open. She'll tell you exactly what's up.
Tell James I'm a huge fan, man.
Well, bring it. Let's do it.
And thank you for being on our show again. We'll definitely have you on again soon.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ernie, for all your time in the past. You're a good friend of Radio Phoenix. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no, say hey to all the guys and so on. I'm not going anywhere. I mean, well, I'm traveling around the country. But, you know, we'll be back. And I tell you, when I come back, you know, about a year from now, we'll be around the country. We'll be stopping in every now and then. We're doing some activism now. But when I come back, it's on. Because these guys, Maricopa County is one of five counties in the country that was the center of this election fraud. And the reason is because it was obvious, and I told these guys, I had Roger Stone on my show before a couple of times, and I said, look, if you guys aren't, you know, taking care of this election fraud, you might as well just give it up, because I know exactly what they're going to do, and they did it. And it was obvious. If you know the end where they're going, it's easy to see all the legislation they need to get there, which they did. They didn't miss a trick.
So you think Trump actually, last thing before we let you go, you think Trump actually really won the vote in Arizona?
I mean, how the hell do I know? I tell you what I do know. As I was driving around the country, we didn't take the interstate. We went, you know, on state highways, and we did in farmland. Beautiful country. Big, I mean, fertile. It's amazing. Everywhere we went was Trump Pence signs everywhere. Flags, signs, yards, on the flagpoles, out in front of the fields, on farms. I mean, it was amazing. I could probably count maybe 10 Biden signs across the entire country. The only state that was different was Vermont. Vermont didn't have Biden-Trump signs. They had Black Lives Matter and support the police. So it might as well have been Biden-Trump. But, you know, that was the only difference. But I'm so that right there and all the rallies and the people and the enthusiasm, it was, but I made the prediction. A lot of my friends, they asked me what was going to happen. I go, Trump's going to kick ass on election night. Then it's going to go to Biden with the election fraud. That's my prediction. That's what happened. And I know why.
Well, it was actually the mail-in votes. That's what came in. I don't think it's necessarily fraud, but I'm open to evidence. But anyhow, we always appreciate your opinion. So anyhow, yeah, no, when you get back in here, we want to hear, you know, what your experience was out there on the road for a year. Yeah, Don, my brief conversation with Don, she talked about you guys kind of living in an RV, traveling around principally on a, maybe you're involved in a lot of things, principally on a kind of anti-masking campaign.
Anti-mandatory vaccines. That is the number one thing. Two things, property rights. Do I own my body or not? And if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? If I put a tent in front of City Hall, that's perfectly fine. But if I take that same tent and put it on land I own without a permission slip from the government, they send me to jail. And I want to know when that happened in this country.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck. Stay safe out there. And we look forward, if not before, maybe when you get back, an overview of what your experience was out there on the road. So,
yeah, it'll be very interesting. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you letting me rant because I got all worked up for James here in an half hour.
That's all right. That's all right. It's good radio. You know that. All right. You take
hey,
care.
If you send me an email right now to publisher@freedomsphoenix.com, as soon as I get James on, I'll forward it right to him and let him know it's coming. You want to get him on, do the same with Judy and you're done. Boom.
You said publisher at what?
freedomsphoenix.com.
Okay, publisher at freedomsphoenix.com. We'll do. I'm going
to
do it right
Freedom
now.
Freedom with an S. You send that to me. I forward it to James. We'll talk about it on our next show a little bit, and I'll encourage him to come on with you guys.
All right. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic. Take care.
Peace, guys.
Peace.